Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Friday morning. Thanks for starting the weekend with us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate all you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. Want to thank our sponsors at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. Be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Gansey.
It would be a little weird.
It would be a little bit.
Gansey. Bruzy.
Yeah. So, what? This is Highway 49 here. Gansey is not too far from a place. I'm not making this up. It's called Maters and Taters.
Like
tomatoes.
The town? Town?
I guess it's like a grocery store. Maybe just be a fruit stand. I don't know. It's on the map here. And Maters and Taters. M-A-Y-D-E-R-S and T-A-Y-D-E-R-S.
How fun.
Yeah, and of course,
have to go check it out.
Just down from the road from Awards, so
of course,
yeah.
So that's South
Mississippi, yeah, the intersection of 49 and 590. So that's where Gansey is, just north of Seminary, home of Nathan Pickering.
Going towards Hattiesburg,
yeah.
Well, been north, so it's,
yeah. It's yeah. I mean, you're going. You will end up in Hattiesburg if you stay on 49. Yeah,
yeah.
So wherever you are in our great state. You can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away. StrangeBrewCoffeehouse.com. Everything you want to get from the Strange Brew, what's the word I'm looking for? The restaurant, you can get it right there at the website. Strange Brew Coffeehouse. It was. A lot of coffee, too.
My speech teacher would be absolutely furious.
Let me tell you something. What was her name?
Barbara.
You don't know her last name?
I prefer. She's changed names a few times now.
Let me tell you something, Barbara. I'll tell you something right now. I am the host of the most successful Mississippi State podcast in the world. All right? I'm doing all right for myself. I can stutter over my words a couple times a week, and it'll be all right.
Okay.
So take that.
Just calm down.
Pip Printing and Signs, reliable service for every business need. What that means is this. If you own a business and you're looking to get people in the front door, Pip Printing and Signs has something for you. If it's signage on the outside or in the interior of your building, if it's mailers to get your specials and your coupons out to your customers, whatever it is, they can get people in the door at your business. They're MSU owned and operated for the past 30 years, and they are a Bulldog Initiative business. And if you do business with them, 10% of your sale goes straight to the Bulldog Initiative in your name. Call our friend Camden Baker at 601-499-5216 to find out a little bit more. Bless you. When you need printing, call Pip today. The opening part of the show leads me to believe we're going to be on a run here at some point. We're stuttering, we're sneezing. I don't even know what's going on.
The flowers are blooming. The pollen is flying.
It's just April, Robbie. You've got a long way to go on that pollen.
We're at the portion of the spring where your nostrils are tickling
all the time.
Yeah, that's where I am right now.
Yeah. Why do cocaine when you can just come to Mississippi in April?
I haven't. Yeah. Instead of white under your nose, it's going to be yellow.
Yeah.
I haven't started taking allergy medicine yet. Maybe I should, but I take Athletic Greens every morning, and so far, my sinuses have been subdued. So we'll pray for the best.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. There you go. I don't even know where I was.
Because you're texting.
My daughter. College Corner. CollegeCornerStore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. Guys, I tweeted this out on Thursday morning. I will be retweeting it. They are running an incredible sale right now at College Corner, and it's available on the website. You don't have to go into the locations to get it. 10% off all their drinkware, 25% off all hats, T-shirts, and polos, and 50% off outerwear. So if you want to get a really cool cutter and buck Mississippi State pullover with the M over S or the state script or the interlocking, they're like $35, $40 right now at College Corner. So check that out. Great sale. Two locations in the Jackson area, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler is Starkville's flagship restaurant. It's the place to grab the best meal in town. For which meal? For all of them. For lunch, for dinner, for Sunday brunch, the best meal in town is at Restaurant Tyler. If you're going to be in Starkville this weekend and you got a chance to grab lunch, I don't know about dinner with these late baseball times, but if you can grab lunch at Restaurant Tyler, I would highly recommend it. They have the best blue plate in Starkville and maybe the best in the whole state of Mississippi. For the best meal in town, go to Restaurant Tyler. Priority One Bank, 16 locations throughout central Mississippi. They are here to serve you. And by service, we mean very simply that they give you everything that you're going to get from those big corporate banks, but they don't give you the stuff you don't want. And that's the poor service, the being on hold, the lack of a true relationship with the people who are there with your finances, man. You don't want to deal with somebody who doesn't know you when we're talking about your money. You want to deal with people in your community so you know who to talk to if you have a question. So that's why I would suggest if you live in central Mississippi, you need to give Priority One Bank a call. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Hey there, Robbie.
Hey.
I'm going to say this. I'm going to make a bold statement here. I feel like this is a bold statement. Mississippi State's season will go the way of this weekend. If they lose this series, I'm writing them off.
You're just giving up. You're done.
I'm telling you right now.
As you famously
be done. If they can't win this series, they've got to win this series. They've got to get some momentum going. They've got to start getting some wins. They're 4-5, so they're probably a little ahead of schedule. But we had Teddy Cahill on from Baseball America on Sports Talk Mississippi on Wednesday, and he talked about, he's like, you know, State with 14 wins is a bubble team, and because their non-conference schedule is so bad and they've got 6 losses on it now, they're a bubble team. 13 has gotten a couple teams in the past. He said it would not get Mississippi State in this year. They've got to start winning games. These next 3 series are very winnable. They need all 3 of them, in my opinion, but they've got to start getting momentum. This is the biggest series of the year for Chris Lemonis. He's got to get a sweep is really, I'm not saying it's necessary, but it would go a long, long way, but absolutely has to get to.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, they really need to get that. The last 2 weeks, you've been in position to win as many as 4 games at this point. And, well, no, 3 games that you lost, I guess you would say.
Mm-hmm.
So, 5 total games, if you count the 2 weekends, you were in position to win 5 games mm-hmm. out of those 2 series, and you came away with 2. And that's okay. I mean, it's okay that you lost those series. I'm not calling the end of the season because they lost to a top 5 Texas A&M team and a Florida team that looks really good in SEC play that's top 10. But the fact of the matter is you didn't take those ball games, and that's going to be the difference between Mississippi State probably getting in postseason and possibly looking for a new head coach. That's just where you are right now. So this weekend is huge. You know, Georgia has been pretty good. I mean, it's an offense that's swinging from a power perspective better than anybody in the conference right now, which is kind of hard to believe. That's not what I would have had on my bingo card of Wes Johnson's first season at Georgia.
Thought it'd been the other way around there, yeah.
Yeah, but that's kind of where they are. And you know they're going to compete on the mound because they have one of the best pitching coaches in the country as their head coach. So he's not going to accept a bad product on the mound. So they're going to compete there. They're going to be good offensively. It's a big weekend for Mississippi State, and they've got to bear down here and find at least a couple of wins. And you get to Sunday and have a chance to sweep the series, then you go all in on sweeping the series. But the most important thing is finding a way to win the first couple of games if you can. And we still have not seen starting rotation, which usually comes out.
It's around about an hour.
We've talked about
now,
that before. Yeah. It usually comes out in the afternoon.
It's 1:13 p.m. as we're recording on Thursday.
So we'll see if Nate Dome. My guess would be TBA again.
Yeah.
Even if Nate Dome is available.
On Sunday?
Yes.
Okay. I agree.
I think we're going to see Cal Steven Friday, Drangelo Saturday, and go from there. And whatever you got on Sunday, you go with.
Georgia's a team that has a ton of power. I mean, we'll talk about Condon in a minute, but Corey Collins is hitting 396 with 12 home runs in only 21 games. I mean, he doesn't have a ton of at-bats. Colby Branch has 8. Dylan Goldstein has 9. And then, of course, our old friend Slade Alford has 8 home runs as well. I've seen some talk about Slade Alford. I mean, he's a guy, his average has dropped, I think, about 40 points since the start of conference play. And I would continue to expect that.
Kind of predictable.
And fielding 981, which isn't, I tell you what, it's better than last year for him. Congrats for him for that.
He's not in the 800s.
I'm sorry, that's OPS. Where's his fielding? My bad. That's way my bad. Like, what am I looking at?
Well, he's
OPS moved, at 981 is pretty good.
He's moved to second.
He's second now, yeah.
A little easier at second base than it is at third, I think.
He's fielding 938. Not great. Mm-hmm. How many errors does he have on the year? I can't help myself. Is that at 5? Then you have Charlie Condon, who right now would be the runaway winner for every player of the year award, cut Golden Spikes. His numbers are stupid. They're flat out dumb. He's batting .481. In 29 games, he has 19 home runs. He also has 11 doubles to go with that. So
he's pretty much ahead of Brent Rooker's pace.
Yeah, yeah. He has 52 hits on the year, and 31 of them are for extra bases.
Mm-hmm.
His slugging percentage is 1.130.
Oh my God!
So I mean that just tells you right there. His on base percentage is 59. Is 593.
You can't
He's on base 6 out of every 10 at bats.
He's not going to beat me this weekend.
Yeah, what happened to you last week with Caglione? You can't let that happen again.
If I have first and second, I'm putting him on.
I would almost, if he was up with the bases loaded, I'd rather walk in a run than pitch.
Like I would not like walk him to lead off an inning. I'll say that.
Right.
But
it's a solo, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. But I'm
telling you right now, I would give him the Bonds treatment. If the bases are loaded and he comes up, just walk him. Give him up a run. It's fine.
And if anything, you know, it definitely doesn't allow him to beat you, but also kind of disrupts his momentum a little bit. He doesn't have a chance to kind of get in his flow up there at the plate.
Mm-hmm.
If you do have to face him and you do have to get an out, then maybe he's not locked in or he hasn't gotten his reps to beat you that way. So you can't let this guy beat you this weekend.
His OPS is 1.723. That's a number that should not exist in baseball.
Those are numbers that you see like early on in the season, or like when a guy has very limited at bats and might have, you know, a couple of doubles and a home run in his first 6 at bats or something like that. No, this dude's had like what 100 and something at bats. Yeah,
he has 52 hits, 26 walks, and he's been hit 8 times.
Golly.
I mean, he just gets on base.
Yeah, I'm not even wasting a pitch on him. Just we're going to intentionally walk him here.
Yeah, there's just no point.
But like, yeah, I don't. I'm not going to walk him to lead off an inning.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I wouldn't put anybody in. I don't know if I'd put somebody in scoring position with 2 outs. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's 2 outs and the base is empty, I might even consider. I don't know if there's nobody on base, I might pitch to him. If a solo home run's not going to beat you.
Right. Yeah, I'm with you.
But if he's got some dudes on base,
walk him. Just don't floor.
Not worth it.
Other teams do it to Dakota Jordan. As good as Jordan's numbers are, they aren't this.
Mm-mm.
So yeah, and yeah, I would not let Charlie Condon bat in a meaning. I would not let him have a meaningful at bat all weekend.
Nope,
not one. Georgia's an interesting team when you look at their schedule. As we mentioned earlier this week, they've only played 9 games away from home. Mississippi State, of course, has only played, I guess if you count neutral sites, they've played probably the same, right? Yeah, I guess they would have. Mm-hmm. 1 in Pearl, 2 in Biloxi, and then the 6 road games they've played. They're 4-5, so 5 of their 6 losses have come away from Athens. They're 19-1 at home. Last weekend, they lost 2 out of 3 to Tennessee, and they could have been swept. I think Tennessee have a big lead in that Saturday game that they ended up just coughing up at some point. Let me double check the box score on that.
I didn't watch that series.
So Tennessee went up 3-0, and then Georgia put up 7 in the third. But then Tennessee puts up 6 in the fifth. Oh, Tennessee did win the Saturday game. What am I looking at then? It was Georgia that had the big lead. Oh, Georgia. Okay, Georgia run ruled them on Friday. That's what I'm. Okay.
And then lost the next two.
And then lost the next two. So, I mean, yeah, you go from 16 to 2, and you think, okay, we're in good shape here. And look, again, same thing with Mississippi State, right? They went on the road to a ranked team and got one win. I'm maybe picking nits here, but they gave up 16 runs in the second game and 7 runs in the second. They got shut out. For a team that has this much offensive firepower, to get shut out, is, and especially in Tennessee's ballpark, which is not the biggest ballpark in the world, that's a surprising one. To see that,
I wonder if they just score. They kind of I don't know what the win situation was like, but they thought, you know, they're thinking home run, and they're just kind of like what State did
State
Tuesday
did the other day, yeah.
And when you think home run like that, and you don't have the wind at your back, or you know, sometimes when you do have the wind at your back, and you're thinking it tends to lead people to press a little bit. But they, you know, their non-conference schedule wasn't great, which. A lot of the SEC wasn't.
Yeah.
They kind of built up, you know, a lot of their wins in non-conference play, which, like you said, that's fine.
Yeah.
They haven't really stubbed their toe against anyone.
You could make a case that they have done a better job than Mississippi State has.
Yeah.
Because they have gone on this weak non-conference schedule, but they've beaten everybody. You know, they're
giving up a. They're giving up a lot of runs in SEC play. I think State can score runs.
I mean,
weekend.
You look at some of these games, Robbie. They gave up.
Kentucky was rough. They gave up.
Well, I mean, I'm talking about the non-conference games, right? They gave up 4 runs to Kennesaw State, who's not a great team. They gave up 5 runs to Northern Kentucky, 6 runs to Northern Kentucky, 11 runs
the
to
Norse.
The Norse, who came in here and got a game a couple years ago. They gave up 19 runs in a 7-inning loss to Michigan State. I know, right? They gave up 9 to Georgia Tech, 5 to Stetson, and then they gave up 6 here to Northern Colorado in a game. Northern Colorado, gosh, they gave up 5 to Iowa.
Remember where Dalton Connect was from?
Yeah, I think that's right. Yeah, then they play Kentucky, and in 3 games they get swept, and they give up 16, 9, and 12.
Kentucky evidently is good.
Kentucky's good. Yeah, they sweep Alabama. Which is crazy, but they give up 5, 5, and 5. They give up 15 runs.
Yeah, they scored a bunch of runs.
And then last week, as we mentioned with Tennessee, they only give up 2 in the first game, but then 16 and 7. So I expect runs this weekend. And
I feel like they're too.
State has
like,
a pitching advantage here. I think that benefits them a lot.
You would think. I feel like at Georgia, doesn't that place kind of feel like a launching pad? I don't know what their dimensions are. I remember over the years like what State would go there.
They haven't had the talent to just put home run. Condon's the first guy in a long time that I'm just like, yeah, Georgia has a masher over there.
Yeah.
But I think that guy hits wherever. So, we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean,
it's not like State is, you know, holding all the balls in the park. I mean,
right.
It'll get out here, too.
I want to get back to my original point. I want to get your thoughts on it. Like, I think this is going to determine how things go. If State comes out of this weekend and they're 6-6, they're great shape.
It's kind of a crossroads thing because you came out of the first part of the schedule, which you said was going to be, you know, disastrous for State.
Right.
To play those first 3 series, we were thinking 1 win, 3 if they're lucky. And they got 4, which to me puts them ahead of schedule. And they had a chance to get more than that. They could have easily won 6 games, maybe even 7 in the first 3 series. So you put yourself ahead of schedule there. Now you've got to, you know, make hay here.
Mm-hmm.
You got 3 weekends here that are winnable. All 3 are winnable. And if you win all 3 series, you're in pretty good shape for the rest of the way. So Mississippi State's got to get it done. No questions about it. They've got to win these series. And this is the first one on your schedule. You really do have to approach this week by week. It can't be a looking ahead thing. We'll look ahead some, but the team, the staff, it's got to be all your focus on winning as many SEC games as you possibly can. And that starts this weekend. You did good enough. You bought yourself some grace here, I think, with the first part of your schedule. But in order to keep everybody locked in, and the fan base, in order to keep, you know, yourself in good graces and potentially in the NCAA tournament, really need to win this weekend.
I agree.
It's at home. It's a team that, They do have some dangerous pieces, but they got the same record as you.
Yeah.
Against, you know, a little lesser schedule than what you played, I think. It's not that far off because they played Tennessee and Kentucky, who's shown to be pretty good. So they had, you know, a couple of top 25 teams in there. But still, you should win this weekend, and they need to get it done.
They need to get it done, and if they don't, it's going to be a very, very tough road to hoe for this Mississippi State team. They need some momentum going to Oxford next. Ole Miss is not going to have any momentum. They're likely to get swept this weekend. Yeah. They're certainly going to lose the series to Arkansas. I would be beyond amazed if they found a way to get two.
You win this weekend, and in the back of Ole Miss's mind, they're saying, here we go again.
Here we go again, and State's coming.
And also,
coming.
State has had that. This is the first time that I can remember that State, maybe men's basketball, mm-hmm. and women's basketball too.
Stansberry had it for a while. Schaefer had it for
a while. Yeah, so maybe not. But in baseball specifically, since I've been growing up, this is the first time I can remember State has just had, they've just been in Ole Miss's brain on the baseball field. State has just, no matter what team they have, no matter what team Ole Miss has, State has won those ball games. They've mm-hmm. won that series. They've found a way. When the big moment happens that decides a series or decides a sweep or whatever, State goes and takes the game. And that's just something that they've had on Ole Miss. You win this weekend and they lose to Arkansas, going into that weekend, that's going to be, I think, on their mind.
Oh, and then the next weekend, when you play Auburn will be coming off of a series with Tennessee at home and then Kentucky at home. Auburn's 1-8. They could very easily be something like 3-12.
Yeah,
maybe
I thought State's
2-14.
I thought State's schedule was the toughest, but I think theirs is probably the toughest at this point.
Auburn so far has played Vanderbilt, who's number 8, Arkansas, who's number 1, A&M, who's number 4, Tennessee is number 4 this week.
Mm-hmm.
Kentucky's not ranked.
No, I think they are.
It's not on the schedule here. They've got to be in the top 10. You would think the way they're 8-1 in the conference. They're 17th.
Yeah,
that's crazy. They're that low.
I just don't think people really. They're kind of waiting for the shoe to drop on them all the time.
I don't know that it's going to.
It didn't last year.
Yeah,
They found a way.
So but I mean, there's a real chance that Auburn could be something like 3-12, 2-13.
And they're,
you've got to take that. That's three series in a row. You've got to win.
And if you take that series, I mean,
but it starts here.
Auburn's probably
they're
done. I mean, it doesn't matter what they do at the end.
Auburn and
I mean,
Ole Miss and LSU are going to be scrambling here. I don't know who LSU has this weekend, but I think it's somebody from the East.
Vanderbilt.
Is it Vandy? I thought they already played Vandy.
No, they're playing Vandy.
Oh, God.
Oh, my Lord. Dude,
the bottom of the West, I mean, over there in the East, it's just there's Missouri, right? Everybody else is competitive and can win games. The bottom of the West is a train wreck.
I don't know how this happened.
Yeah, I know how it happened. LSU's got the curse.
Yeah.
Ole Miss is in the second year of the curse. Remember, it's a two-year curse.
Well, and Ole Miss, again, Ole Miss lucked, was called what it is. They lucked into the national championship.
They were not good that year.
No. They were about to tell Mike Bianco to walk.
If he had not made the tournament that year, they would have fired
him. Yeah. That I talked to several Ole Miss writers who had their stories written.
It was over. So before the season started, I was asked on Sports Talk, I was like, what's your hottest take for this season? I said, we're going to be covering two coaching searches at the end of this. And with State, you know, Lemonis looks like he may be able to fight his way out of it. But Richard was so adamant that he would not fire Bianco. And then I've had a couple of people tell me, like, you may end up being right on that. I'm like, because people get sick of losing.
They can't
deal with it.
Especially if State gets back on track.
Exactly.
They're not going to be able to take it.
So, again.
Or, you know, if State fires Lemonis, they're going to want to get ahead of it.
Yeah.
They're going to want to, because State and Ole Miss are going to be fighting for coaches.
The thing is, Ole Miss is going to want McConnell.
He ain't coming.
I don't think he would go to Ole Miss. He certainly wouldn't go to State if we fired Lemonis.
And he definitely wouldn't go to Ole Miss if Lemonis was
there. As long as he's there, so yeah.
I don't think he would go for Ole Miss.
Godwin would be the guy.
But I think State would go after Godwin too.
He would go to Ole Miss first, I think.
Yeah, oh yeah, I'm sure.
So if
that job's open and they're both open, I think he would go.
LSU year one of the curse, Ole Miss year two of the curse, and then Auburn just has an administration that doesn't really care about baseball.
Yeah. Dude, how about that? John Cohen shows up at Auburn.
And
they're going to start tanking in baseball?
Ah, it's so good. You know, I try not to be a bad person, but I am a terrible person. Let's move.
And you know, like he had those headphones in.
Oh yeah, you told me about that. Yeah,
at basketball,
the team's playing for the SEC tournament championship. He's listening to the baseball game.
Yeah, just itching to get down the street.
How is LSU still ranked? They're still ranked.
It's just the name, man. It's just like State. I mean, State gets the benefit of the doubt.
I guess, man. But geez, Louise, they're
State
awful.
Hadn't really proven anything yet, and everybody's already jumping on board.
There's an off chance that LSU has an 0-4 week because they already lost their midweek game. They play tonight. They play Thursday night. They're Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So we'll know a little bit about them tonight. Let's move into the rest of the show that's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, and I certainly hope you are, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. So, charcoal, gas, pellet smoker, whatever it is, it's beef time. If you're just doing something for you and the family, man, a couple steaks go a long way. If you're doing something for a big crowd, a big brisket, it's the way to go. I hope that you're cooking out this weekend. I hope that it's with beef. Send me the pictures, man. I love to see them. I know you told me that somebody had heard my comments about tri-tip, and they had gotten taken some interest in it.
I've heard that.
They said that, hey, I might be cooking tri-tip, and I'm going to let y'all know. So, hey, send me those pictures, man. I love to see somebody who's just getting started cooking tri-tip, doesn't know a whole ton about that particular cut. If he's talking about it, I appreciate that. So that's good stuff. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. He's seething right now. He's like, that son of a...
Can't defend himself.
I know. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. Again, if you're going to be in Starkville this weekend for baseball, a trip to Two Brothers is a great stop before the game. Easy walk over to Diddy Noble. By the way, now that I'm not as fat as I used to be, things are a much easier walk. Like 2 years ago, I would never say it's an easy walk from Two Brothers to Duty Noble. Now it's an easy walk. So.
Yeah.
So there you go. And it's also, it's what?
You.
Yeah. Oh, well, you know. So, if you're going to be in Starkville this weekend, please, I beg of you, take a trip to Two Brothers. Hey, if Josh Pate can go to Two Brothers, you certainly can. As well,
I saw that yesterday that he was in town. Yeah. I got very angry because I was like, I would like to give him some food recs and tell him to go. And someone sent him a Two Brothers, so we're good.
He knew, so
we're good.
I'm almost when he talked about the breakfast. I wonder if he was at the 76 by my neighborhood. They have a really good chicken biscuit.
I mean, pick a gas station.
You're right. So, Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems, and they've been doing it now for 49 years. That's a half century of taking care of customers. Nobody stays in business unless they're taking care of their customers for that long. So you know that when you make a purchase from Advantage Business Systems, the service after the sale is going to be there, and you can trust that. So if you need a new copier, a new printer, anything like that, you give them a call, and then if something goes wrong, you just call them back. No 1-800 number, no call centers putting you on hold, no out-of-state technicians. Easy to do business with. 601-362-9192 or visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Maroon & Co. has got the stuff you're looking for this weekend. You're going to be in Starkville. You're going to be looking for some new gear. Head over to Maroon & Co. before you head to Duty Noble. Use the promo code THUNDER15 to save 15% off all regular priced items. Some exclusions do apply. And the Bulldog Initiative gear, nobody else has it, just them. They have and that's true about a lot of different polos and shirts and hats. You can only get it at Maroon & Co. So check them out. Before you go to Duty Noble, head to Maroon & Co. It's a historic day here on the Thunder and Lightning podcast. Robbie, never not once have we talked about the Oklahoma Sooners for more than a passing moment. Maybe they got no coffee one day, or maybe, you know, we just mentioned them in passing. But this is the day we're going to talk about them in detail. And we start with our interview with Eddie Radosevich, who's one of the top guys out there on the beat. He works for that On3 website.
Yes.
So good to talk to him. I thought it was a great interview. Let's go to it now. Eddie Radosevich of Soonerscoop.com. A historic moment here on the Thunder and Lightning podcast. The first time ever we will talk about anything related to Oklahoma football, as they are now, I don't know if any of our listeners know this or not, Richard Cross certainly didn't, that they are joining the SEC. Eddie Radosevich joins us now, Soonerscoop.com. That's from that On3 website I keep telling you guys about. Eddie, I will get to the Sooners in a second. I would be remiss not to get your thoughts on Jeff Lebby, the new Mississippi State head coach, obviously coming in from Oklahoma. State needed offense. They needed somebody who could put points on the scoreboard. Do you think they got their guy?
Yeah, I think so. It was a short little period that we got to know Jeff in Norman, but certainly I think I said it best when I told you he's just a football coach. I think that you can tell that he grew up in a football family, certainly around the sport and kind of a lifeblood, really. But when it comes to, calling offensive plays and moving the football, he stepped into a really interesting situation, too, just because Lincoln Riley had left in the manner that he did to head out to Los Angeles, and Oklahoma fans have been so used to elite offenses. And probably it's one of those things that Oklahoma fans really don't realize what they're losing necessarily. I think that they still feel like things are going to go well in Norman offensively, but I always felt like I was having to stick up for a guy that averaged to be in the top seven offenses in the country, yearly, but for Oklahoma fans, that wasn't good enough. So I think it was a really good marriage. Obviously, he loves the university and Norman, having gone to school there. And, I was sad to see him go. Oklahoma fans probably out on social media would tell you otherwise, or, not a majority of them, but certainly the vocal minority. So I think it was a really good hire for Mississippi State. It's going to be interesting to see how it all kind of works out there in Starkville.
And now, of course, the Sooners headed to the SEC to join Jeff Lebby here. The term we like to use is SEC ready, going back to when A&M and Missouri joined the conference. So I'll just ask you that big picture question. How SEC ready is Oklahoma?
I mean, I think when they get, 60, 70,000 in for the spring game here in a couple of weeks, that will be a talking point in terms of they feel like they are SEC ready. I think certainly, the way that Oklahoma's played over the last a couple seasons probably doesn't reflect that, just in terms of having to bounce back from a 6-7 season in Brent Venables' first year. But, the fervor, the passion from the fan base is certainly, I think, folks in Norman would want to tell you that it matches what you see across the SEC. And, it feels like a long time coming, and it's almost a little surreal, I think, for a lot of people that have followed Oklahoma for, certainly the last couple years, to realize that this is finally coming to fruition and it's happening here in a matter of a few months. And, obviously the football season will be a rude awakening, I think, in ways when you look at Oklahoma's schedule.
The lineage of great quarterbacks at Oklahoma over this past couple of decades has been as good as anybody in college football. And now Jackson Arnold steps into that spotlight, former five-star recruit. We got to see a little bit of him in the bowl game. He looked like you would expect a true freshman getting his first real action to look like. I thought he showed some moments of promise. He showed some moments of being a freshman. There's no getting around that. What is the ceiling on this kid? Is there a good comp for him of the Oklahoma quarterbacks of the past?
Yeah, it's really kind of fascinating because, again, he had been committed to Oklahoma for so long out of Denton. Geyer made a really good run just a couple hours south of Norman there in the North DFW area. And he almost felt like a little bit of a legend before he arrived on campus in a way. And for a school, like you said, that has had so much success at the quarterback position, certainly here in the recent history, the modern history of college football, the expectations are through the roof, and rightfully so. I think it's kind of one of those things of which way do you want to look at it? Do you want to look at the throws that he made that you go, yep, that's the five-star that, everybody had kind of been awaiting for his arrival? Or do you look at the six turnovers and remember that he is young, and even going into this spring, he's still relatively a really, really young college football player. It's going to be interesting to see how Oklahoma navigates that. But in terms of ceiling, I think that there's a lot of people that feel like Jackson could be right there alongside the Baker Mayfield, Kyler Murray, Sam Bradfords of the world, that, he could be the next great Oklahoma quarterback. Definitely has some skill talent around him. I think the offensive line in the first year in the SEC is going to kind of be the biggest barometer in terms of how good this offense can be, but the sky's the limit. I think that the way that he carries himself, the way that he talks to the media and does the small things that you kind of have to do, that it took about a year for Dylan Gabriel to really adjust to. He's done that flawlessly, and I think that there's a reason for excitement around the quarterback position in Norman.
The offensive line has got a lot of new faces on it coming in.
Yeah.
I guess I may be understating that a little bit. I think all five starters are new on this group. That's not a group where you want to have a lot of transition, especially when you're making the jump that, Oklahoma is. Can that unit get up to speed in the time they have before the start of the season?
You know, and I think that that is kind of the million-dollar question with Oklahoma heading into 2024 is how they're going to kind of retool this unit. They got a setback this past week with the news that Troy Everett, the projected starting center, is he's going to miss the rest of the spring. Had surgery on Wednesday on his knee. The good news is it sounds like they can get him back before the season begins, but we're probably not looking until maybe the middle of August or maybe even the end of August before he can get back out onto the field. So it's a problem. I think that anybody that follows Oklahoma football, that's the number one thing that they'll want to talk about is the offensive line position. They have some young guys within the system that are showing promise here through the early portions of spring. But how early can those guys fill into roles that they're going to be asked to fill here moving forward? So, yeah, they got their work cut out for them. Bill Beatenbo, one of the best in the country. He's mm-hmm. been doing it in Norman for a long time, and it's kind of his job to kind of get this thing through here, kind of the rough waters through the summer and then obviously into the early portions of the season.
Oklahoma took a good jump last year defensively from Brent Venables' first year in Norman. But they still, they still had some ups and downs. We'll put it that way, And even in at the end of the season, coming up 29 to Central Florida, 38 to Kansas, 27 to Oklahoma State, so on and so forth, all the way down to the bowl game where they gave up 38 to Arizona. What is this defense going to look like this year for Brent Venables, and what's the strength of that unit?
Yeah, I would say to just put it most simply, it's night and day different from what he inherited when Brent came in 3 years ago. We talked to him on Tuesday about it, just how drastically different from a depth perspective Oklahoma is going to be. And then, they have a unique kind of circumstance with Zach Alley coming in. It's a pretty comfortable situation as he inherits a defense that brings guys back at every level. And I think that just most simply, they're probably going to be on paper. They're going to be the best defense Oklahoma's put on the field in maybe a decade. The bar defensively has been rather low. I think anybody that follows the sport knows here since the Lincoln Riley days, they've had to kind of rebuild that unit. They got Danny Stutzman back. They got Billy Bowman back. They got DJ Terry back. They got Woody Washington coming back for a fifth year. They have returners all over the defense. And I think that, it kind of starts with that linebacker group led by Danny Stutzman, who I think a lot of people figured to get into the Buckus, conversation by year's end. They should be pretty good. I think that there's a feeling around Norman that thing is headed in the right direction. And when you see some of the young guys that they have on the defensive side of the ball that could, end up being day one contributors, I think that, if Jackson goes through the type of year that the ups and downs that a freshman is expected to have in his first full year starting in the SEC, you're going to have to lean on the defense, and they're going to have to be the difference makers in a couple of these games, especially tight games in the fourth quarter. So there's a lot of excitement and certainly a lot of reason for excitement with the returners.
This is year one in the SEC. What does success look like for Oklahoma? I mean, traditionally success for Oklahoma is contending for the national championship that year in and year out. What does year one in the SEC need to look like for Oklahoma fans to feel good about the direction they're headed?
It kind of goes back to your first question about the SEC ready factor. And I think that the expectations certainly aren't going to change, even with the tougher schedule and the tougher task of wading through the waters of the SEC, being in contention for a national championship, getting into the SEC conference championship conversation is always going to kind of be the barometer on where Oklahoma fans see this program. But at the same time, I think there has to be a little bit of a realistic look at it. And I think that if they could get to 9 or 10 wins this season, that would be phenomenal for the first year. Maybe that backdoors you into a 12-team playoff conversation. And if that were the case, it would be a phenomenal first season in the SEC. And more importantly, I think for Brent Venables, who they did improve in areas last year. I think that Oklahoma fans probably didn't recognize it enough just in terms of how bad that first season went, finishing 6-7. But there were, I think certainly areas that were reminiscent of that first year. So, I think that it's a tough conversation to have, especially at this time of the year. But there's trajectory that this thing is headed in the right direction. I think that they just need to be able to avoid any missteps that were to come their way. You got to, you know, certainly take care of business at home. And I think that if they could, again, get to 9 or 10 wins, that would be a phenomenal first year, you know, in the SEC. And you kind of see where things lie at the end of the season.
What's the game for Oklahoma fans this year or maybe in the future when they look at that SEC schedule that they are the most excited about going to that stadium?
Ooh, that's such a good question because, you know, there's so many of these places that that Oklahoma fans simply haven't been.
Yeah.
You know, I think this year the trip to Baton Rouge is going to be exciting. I think for personal reasons, getting to Oxford is going to be pretty fun. Sorry, I don't know if I should say that here with
my eye just twitched involuntarily. But
I've told Zach Selman I need to get down to Starkville. I'm excited to see all of it. But, you know, if you pay attention to the social media, obviously Texas is always going to be the situation for Oklahoma fans. That's a different kind of conversation with the Dallas and the state fair, all the stuff that goes into it. Missouri, for some reason, has been kind of an Oklahoma, I think, Twitter fan base rivalry that makes for that to be certainly a situation with the way that Caden Green ended up in Columbia. Yeah. Here, they've gone head to head in recruiting battles dating back all the way into the Big Eight. So, that's going to be a lot of fun this year, but I'd kind of look at the Baton Rouge experience. And then obviously, you know, with Alabama coming to Norman and Tennessee coming to Norman, with the Josh Heupel connection, those are certainly games that, you know, I think will get people talking. Overall, though, I mean, you look at Oklahoma's home schedule, and I think the SEC has a whole lot of to do with it, but it's good. It's the best home schedule Oklahoma's had in at least a decade, maybe more.
You ever been to Baton Rouge for a game?
Haven't been to down there for a game. Been through multiple times. Had to go, you know, see the tiger in the cage and all that kind of stuff on the way to New Orleans. But haven't been down there. I'm excited for it.
Should buckle up.
I think that that's probably the best advice to take. And you know, fingers crossed. Oklahoma fans have been kind of, I don't know. They would tell you screwed over by the 11 a.m. kickoff. Mm-hmm. I think that Oklahoma fans are excited just to get out of the 11 a.m. window.
Yeah, the other side of that is LSU, who never gets an 11 a.m.
That's right.
And we'll raise five shades of hell if you try to give them one. So I would also caution you, if you go down to Baton Rouge, if you're not on Lipitor already for your cholesterol, go ahead and just crush up a couple on your Frosted Flakes before you get out the door. So.
No doubt. I think it's an exciting time to, you know, obviously be kind of covering. Yeah. Position. It's been a long time coming, you know, all the way going back to when Britt Zernowen broke the news. It's like almost a decade ago.
So I'll tell you that we were at Media Days when that happened, and my co-host on Sports Talk Mississippi, Richard Cross, was interviewing Billy Lucci from Texas right when it happened. And he was doing the interview. So I'm just sort of sitting there looking at my computer, and my eyes get big, and I look at him, and I look at Lucci, of course, you know, the Texas A&M guy, and I'm like, oh God, I can't wait for this interview to be over with. And then I look down the way, Greg Sankey is on with I think like Matt Moscona or somebody.
Yeah.
And this line of reporters going to talk to him, just standing around waiting for him to finish that interview so that he could say no comment. It was incredible. So
absolutely unreal. It was, and certainly during that time period, it was kind of one of those, you got to check it like four times to make sure that you're not.
Yeah. Yeah, I was making sure I wasn't getting ball sacked, I believe, is the
Exactly.
So, Eddie, great to talk to you, man. We'll look forward to seeing you at Media Days, and we'll have you on with us again then. And welcome to the SEC, Eddie Radosovic, Soonerscoop.com. We appreciate you, man.
Absolutely. Anytime, and looking forward to it here with the move and everything that's to come. It's going to be an exciting time. Anytime. And, looking forward to Big 12 Media Day. I'm just so stuck into it. SEC Media Days back in kind of our backyard in our turf down in the DFW.
Sounds good. Thanks to Eddie. Appreciate his time. Really good stuff. Of Texas and Oklahoma, I feel like Texas is way, way more SEC ready. I feel like they can come in this year and compete for the conference championship. As Eddie said, I think a really good season for Oklahoma would be on the periphery of the playoff if they could somehow get in. Their swing game is the game in Oxford.
Mm-hmm.
They have to win that if they want to be in, because I don't know that they're going to beat Texas. I know they beat Texas last year. I know that. But I don't know that they're going to beat Texas. I don't think they get a Don't they get Alabama and Georgia? Let me double check their schedule.
I haven't looked at their schedule.
Let's look at their schedule. Let's just see what we see. Football schedule. That's what that we want. So, all right, obviously, now their non-conference, they do have Houston, which I mean, that's an interesting game. Tennessee at home. That's tough.
They go at home, I think.
Yeah, it helps. They go to Auburn. They can win that.
Yeah.
Then they have the game with Oklahoma or with Texas, I mean. South Carolina at home, they can win that. So let's say they're 3-1 in the conference at that point. We'll give them the benefit of the doubt against Tennessee. They have Alabama. They don't have Georgia. So they have Alabama at home, and then they go to LSU on the back end. That's their last three games are really tough. At Missouri, Alabama at home, at LSU. So let's say they can get one win in there, right? So they're 1-2 in that. That would put them at 9-3 based on what we're saying. Yeah, they have to beat Ole Miss to be in the playoff hunt.
And that could be the difference between Ole Miss getting the playoff or not.
Ole Miss, to me, and we'll talk more about them. I guess we talked about them a little bit yesterday, but they'll lose to Georgia. That's the one game on their schedule I'm willing to say they'll lose that one.
Yeah.
The rest of them, I mean, at LSU and then this Oklahoma game are the toss-up games for them. They can lose one of them.
If LSU had a proven quarterback,
I'd feel better because it's in LSU.
Yeah.
But they don't.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I mean, LSU has talent. I'm not worried about the talent down there, so we'll see.
That's the interesting thing with Ole Miss is they do have some tough road environments that they're going into. How did they adjust to that?
Yeah,
that's gonna tell the tale of their season because they have three really good road environments that they're going to that has the potential to unravel them, even if they're more talented.
Yeah.
That's what I don't think people are considering.
But LSU, South Carolina, Arkansas, and who's the other one?
Well, I wasn't considering Arkansas.
Yeah, but that game's always crazy.
Florida,
yeah.
Yeah.
They'll beat Florida. I know the atmosphere is good. But
it's on the road. That's what I'm saying.
And that game's so late in the season, the Florida fans might have checked out at that point.
Or Florida could somehow surprise us. Right, we'll see. We just don't know.
Oklahoma this year, I think 8-4 is the right answer for them. We'll do our predictions. We're only about, I think, 4 weeks away from our first predictions.
Yay.
But 8-4, and if they can somehow, I say beat Ole Miss. If they need to either beat Ole Miss or Missouri, or LSU, I don't think they'll beat Alabama.
Is Missouri at home?
No, those are all three of these games are on the road. Ole Miss, well, Missouri.
Missouri's not a tough road game, but it's not at home.
And it was interesting talking to Eddie. I know you haven't heard the interview yet, but Oklahoma fans have kind of circled that game because there was some transfer drama with an Oklahoma player going to Missouri.
So
they're chomping at the bit to play that game.
Is that the offensive lineman?
Yeah. Yeah. So three road games sort of tell their season. Ole Miss, Missouri, LSU. 2-1, and you got a real chance to be in the playoff conversation. 1-2, and you might be. You'd definitely be in the top 20, though. You could go 0-3 in that, and I think you'd be 7-5 at that point.
What were they last year? They have 10 wins.
What were they last year? Where is this? They lost their bowl game. I think they finished 10-3, yeah. They lost to Kansas, and they lost the bowl game to Arizona. They lost to Kansas, and they lost Oklahoma State.
Yeah.
And they beat Texas, so we'll see.
That's bedlam.
All right, next week's SEC previews, Missouri, South Carolina, and I'm leaving somebody out there. Missouri, South Carolina, and Tennessee. And then we'll get into the Texas schools and Vanderbilt to wrap things up the week after that. Baseball to cover on Monday. We'll see if any basketball transfer news comes out. I know they're hitting that portal very hard. And then football scrimmage, if we get any information on that, we'll certainly talk to you about it. Guys, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again soon. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.